The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
This weekend, guys, the Lord has really kind of downloaded some stuff to me and shown me and showed some stuff to me and revealed some things to me that I'm seeing right now in the body of Christ. And all this week, the three times that we're going to try to get on here, I'm going to share some stuff starting tonight that I'm seeing right now in the body of Christ. So tonight I'm going to kick off the first part of this, and I'm developing some other messages to go along with this over the coming days. So I hope that you're able to catch these either live or on the rebroadcast, just on podcasts, on YouTube or Facebook or however you may watch this. So I want to deal with a subject called how persecution is removing the backbone of the church. I'm going to say that again. How persecution is removing the backbone of the church. John 18, 19 through 26 is going to be kind of the text that I'm going to be pulling from. I'm going to show you some stuff, and I believe it's a picture of where I want to take you and where we're going and what I'm seeing in the body of Christ. John 18, 19 through 26. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And I'm going to home in on that in just a minute. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world, and I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always met, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said unto them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, quote, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" And Jesus answered and said, "If I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" And then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, verse 25 of John 18. Now, Simon Peter, by the way, who was one of his disciples, stood and warmed himself. Therefore, they said unto him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it and said, "I am not." And one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, that was Malchus, by the way, said, quote, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. So this story right here in John 18, 19 to 26 can also be found in Mark 14, John 18, Mark 14. Again, this story can be found in other gospel writers' accounts as well, and they kind of give you some more details about this one event that took place. But I want to show you something here. I wrote some stuff down. It was almost like the Lord was just putting this on me, and I typed all this up. So I want to read this to you. This is what I got today when I was putting this message together. Again, it started over this weekend, and I really finished this up today, and I want to share it with you. I believe certain persecution is now coming to America that we have not experienced the likes of, and it is surfacing against, listen to this, the disciples of Jesus and their doctrine. Remember in John 18, 19, they were questioned regarding the disciples of Jesus and the doctrine that Jesus taught. So again, I believe that persecution is now arising in America that we have not experienced, some of us in our lifetime. And watch this. It's coming against true disciples of Jesus and our doctrine in which we preach. Now, I'm going to give you more of what I wrote down here. In other words, those who are truly in Christ and are salt and light in the earth, that are standing on the word of God and calling a generation to repentance, and in this hour, and turning and calling a generation back to God, are agitating the powers of darkness in this hour. It is the true word of God, unadulterated, unwatered down, undiluted doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ is exposing the kingdom of darkness across the land in all areas of government and society, producing levels of hatred and opposition, again, that some of us have never experienced before here in America. The true doctrine of true disciples, and I want to emphasize that, the true doctrine of true disciples. Now, why should I emphasize that? Because again, you guys have heard us do these polls. We just did a poll last week. 4 out of 10 professed American Christians say that when it comes to the topic of abortion in the Bible, that the Bible is ambiguous, meaning that it's left up to self-interpretation of what abortion actually is. We covered that all that in our last segment last week in our viewpoint segment. It's a huge percentage of believers do not believe that the Bible defines the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. There's a huge percentage of believers that don't even believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can go into the Father unless he comes through the Son. And there's no other way into heaven unless it's through Jesus Christ. These are professed American Christians. In my opinion, they are far from disciples. A disciple is an absolute, sold-out, radical follower of Jesus Christ. They hear the word, they listen to the word, they read the word, they absorb the word, and they are doers of the word. And they spread the word to every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. Come on, they go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So the true doctrine of true disciples in this hour refuse to conform and embrace the current culture, but instead will produce a power and conviction to deliver and set others apart from the culture. Let me say that again. True disciples and their doctrine in this hour will not conform people to embrace and look like the culture, but the true doctrine that will come from their mouths will be the unadulterated word of God, which will produce power and conviction to deliver and set them free from a culture that is leading people to hell. There is a remnant in America in this hour that has not watered down or compromised the true doctrine of the apostles, but they are carrying the torch. They're carrying the baton to the next generation and is contending against the powers of darkness in the land. Unfortunately, watch this. This level of persecution on social media, especially that's happening right now, has forced, and this is embarrassing to even say this, when I know right now outside of America, there is believers that are true disciples that have laid down their lives for the gospel's sake, truly are living on borrowed time because of the persecution of their lives, where they're being slaughtered, where they're being killed, whether they're being martyred, their homes are being burned down, their mothers and fathers, their families are being kidnapped, and all kinds of things that we couldn't even fathom are taking place outside of America that most American Christianity cannot even comprehend or understand. So for me to even discuss persecution via social media is an absolute farce, and it's ridiculous. But nevertheless, I have to use this verbiage for most Christians in America to even comprehend what I'm talking about tonight. But nevertheless, the level of persecution that's rising against social media outlets that are silencing, shadow banning, removing pages, Christian pages, conservative pages, and the list goes on, has forced many believers, watch this, to either go into hiding or to compromise. So when we go back into the text here, notice in John 18, 19, look, prior to this, oh, come on, somebody. Prior to this event in John that we read about and other gospel writers talk about, Peter, come on, he was the bold one. Peter was the one that said, I believe you're the Son of the living God. I believe that you are the Messiah. Peter was the one that was there when Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, and your name shall no longer be Simon, it shall be Peter, and upon my rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom of the heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He's given Peter revelation knowledge. He's given him the understanding of the identity of the Messiah. He's given him keys to the authority, to the kingdom. He's possessed all this, and he's running with the Lord. He's laid down his fishing business. He's walked away from everything, and everything is great. Everything is dandy, and he's excited to be a disciple of the Lord. He's excited to be following Jesus until persecution begins to surface itself. Because, see, Jesus sat around, and he talked about persecution, and he talked about the time would come when they're going to take the Son of Man and they're going to put him up on a stake. They're going to put him up on a cross. They're going to crucify him in 3 days and three nights. After 3 days and three nights, he will raise again from the dead. Remember this? He had this conversation with the disciples, and it was Peter who tried to rebuke the Lord and said, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And the Lord had to rebuke Peter and said that you don't know what spirit you're speaking of, and said, get behind me, Satan, for I have to fulfill what's been written of me. So Peter was all good, and it was swell, and it was well with him to follow Jesus as long as it was convenient and it fit into his lifestyle. But the moment, come on, that physical harm began to rise because of his allegiance to Christ and because of who he was following, look what happens to Peter. Suddenly, Jesus is struck on the face. Judas comes with a band of soldiers to come and take him captive because he sold him. He sold out the Lord. And the Bible says Peter begins to fall away. He begins to fade away. He begins to be in the background. He's no longer in the forefront, but now he's in the background. Now, instead of being in the fire, he's warming himself by the fire. He's denying the Lord. He's saying, I never knew the man. I don't know what you're talking about. And again, you can read all this in Mark 14. In John 18, in Mark 14, 66, it says, Peter followed at a distance. Servants, he sat among servants who warmed themselves at the fire. The Bible says that Peter stood outside the door. It said again that he warmed himself by the fire. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to tell you how many believers, listen to this. I wrote this down today as the Holy Spirit, I believe, put it upon my heart. How many believers will not even attend physical church services anymore over the fear of a virus? Yet these people are going to stand with Christ when the time comes for them to either profess Christ or deny him before a tyrannical government that's coming that will track and hunt down professed Christians for their allegiance to Christ, such as what's happening right now in China. I want to say that again. If we've got professed believers, professed Christians today that won't even attend gatherings or churches over a fear of a virus, what do you think they're going to do when America turns into China, when officials begin to tear down crosses, when officials go into churches and confiscate literature and Bibles and take captive priests and pastors and parishioners and different people in leadership? What are we going to do when they start replacing churches and replacing them with what the government wants them to replace them with? So before you get mad at Peter, I want you to look across the board. Look what we're seeing today in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, persecution in this hour And again, I'm talking to Americans today, and it's embarrassing because I have to define persecution in America as in someone not liking you because of your stance for Christ, or someone not following you on Facebook because all you do is post Bible verses, or someone threatening to remove your page because you said something that offended them because of the doctrine and what you stand for. That's the persecution that we identify with here in America, not with our Chinese brothers and sisters, not with our brothers and sisters in Syria or in Saudi Arabia or in Iran or any other place where they're literally losing their lives for the gospel's sake. So I had to tone this down to make this relevant to Americans. But I want to show you something. But there's hope for Peter, and there's hope for anyone else that may be in Peter's shoes tonight. Peter denied the Lord three times. The rooster crowed. He wept bitterly because he just turned his back on the Messiah. Think about it, church. So Peter went into hiding. He disappeared. I can prove to you in John 21 that Peter went back to his old lifestyle. And again, how many people in this hour, they were burning for Jesus, they were walking with Jesus, they were following Jesus, they were in church every time the doors opened, but as soon as a virus showed up, we can't find them anymore. Where did they go? They fell off the grid. They fell off the map. They can't find them in the church anymore. We can't contact them anymore. A virus has run them off. We ain't even got to this level of persecution yet. So, persecution is what I've just defined to you tonight. What we're seeing in social media and things, I believe it's going to get worse. And depending on the election outcome, it could get better or it could get worse. Now, I can tell you, prophetically speaking, it's going to get worse eventually. We might have a reprieve for 4 more years. We may not. It may accelerate, and we may go straight into levels of persecution that we are seeing in China right down the pike. But watch this. Peter, because he wept sorely. He was so distraught over what he had done that he went into hiding, turned away from the Lord, and went back to the very thing that God delivered him out of. Watch this, John 21. And after these things, this is when Jesus was crucified, buried, and he rose from the dead. Watch this. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, listen to this, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. There you go. I'm going to go back to the thing that it all started with, that God delivered me out of. Oh, come on. I'm going to plow in just a second. And they said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Listen, friend, I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of you don't believe in backsliding, but I'm going to tell you, you can get to a place where you sear your conscience with a hot iron to the point where you reject the Holy Spirit, you reject the Word of God, you run from His presence, you don't want to get into the house of God. You can turn Him off to the point where you can't hear from Him anymore, you can't feel Him anymore, and you can't recognize Him and can't recognize His presence when He's in the room with you. These guys sold everything they had, abandoned their careers, left their families, walked with Him daily, broke bread with Him, was there all the way to the end. And Jesus is standing there in front of them. And the Bible says that they did not know it was Him. I'm going to tell you something. If we allow fear and persecution to drive us away from the fire and the presence of God, then we can get to a place that we're so, come on, far from Him that we can't hear His still small voice. Come on, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I'm telling you, this is convicting me too on some levels. I don't want to get to a place in my walk with God where Jesus is right in front of me and I can't recognize it because I've been warming myself up to the things of the world and not in the fire of God. Whew. Says, listen to this. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Him. And He said unto them, children, have you any food? And they answered Him, no. And He said to them, I love this, cast thy net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And you say, wow, that sounds familiar. You're right, because this was the same miracle that Jesus performed when He called these same jokers to be His disciples, and He performed it again. Watch this. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment and he had removed it. He plunged himself into the waters and he plunged into the sea. Listen to this. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. And as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Guys, there are so many layers of this that I want to talk. Listen, it is inevitable that people will go back to what they were delivered from before their encounter with the Lord. When the fire goes out, they will begin to try to build a fire and warm themselves with the things of the world. They'll try to warm themselves with alcohol again. They'll try to warm their hands beside some drugs again. They'll warm their hands with sexual relationships again. They'll warm their hands with fornication, with adultery, immorality, with all kinds of things that they used to warm their hands up with, that would fill them and would satisfy them. But once you've been in the fire, the true fire, John said, he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Whew. Then you can't go back. Listen, but here's the thing I love about the Lord. There's some of you tonight, and I'm telling you, as I've been talking about this on podcasts, on YouTube right now, you're hearing this, and you're saying, my Lord, this is me. I can relate to Peter. I've denied the Lord. I've walked away from the Lord. I've allowed things to come. I've allowed fear to come. I've allowed persecution to drive me away. I've allowed offense to drive me away. And now I find myself doing the very things that I hate. I find myself doing the things that I don't want to do anymore. The things that used to satisfy me that don't satisfy anymore. I'm doing this thing, going through the motions, and I love what it says right here. It says, they toil all night, but they catch nothing. Oh, friends, I'm going to tell you something. You can go to the club all weekend. You can go to the bar every weekend. You can start shopping around, looking around, or whoring around. And I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't a drug that's going to fill you up. There ain't a drink that's going to satisfy you. You can't do anything that's going to cover it. You can't snort it away. You can't shoot it away. You can't drink it away. Come on. Because once you've tasted the Lord and seen that He is good, that seed of the Word, the seed of God is in you, remains in you, and all it takes is one word from heaven to call you, come on, back into the fold. And I love that the word that was needed was the word that was initiated or released in the beginning of their ministry, and He came at the end when they needed one word. He released it, and He said, cast your net on the other side. And John, when he heard that and recognized that, he was quickened and said, this is not just some dude showing up on the other side of the bank with some fish and fire. This is the Messiah. This is the Lord Almighty. Come on, who am I talking to tonight? I got to tell you something right now, and that is that You've got to make up your mind. We've got to make up our mind right now. We've got to do it right now. We can't make up our mind when it's too late. We got to draw a line in the sand. We got to draw a plumb line. We got to make our face like flint. And we got to say, come hell or high water, regardless if they shut me down on Facebook. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to Americans right now. They might shut your Twitter page down. Shut your Facebook page down. You might get fired at your job. You may lose your reputation with the people you work with. You may be hated by your own family. But what are you going to do? Are you going to walk away from the Lord in whom you've had this encounter with? The guy who changed your life, flipped you upside down, come on, took you from the miry clay and set your feet upon the rock and established your goings. Are you going to walk away from him? I love what the disciples did in the book of John when Jesus began to get real serious and he talked about, lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll by no means have anything to do with me, or you'll by no means be a part of my kingdom. The Bible says that most of them walked away at that point because his saying was too hard for them to receive, and they walked away. And Jesus turns around, looks at the disciples and said, what about you? Aren't you going to go? And one of them stood up and said, I believe it was Peter, if I'm not wrong here, I stand to be corrected, but I believe it was Peter. He stood and said, Lord, he said, where are we going to go? We ain't got nothing to go back to. You've got the words to eternal life. Come on. You know this right now. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. Tonight, you got to make up your mind. Are you going to let a virus scare you? Are you going to let persecution scare you? Are you going to let social media giants scare you into a corner? Are you going to let fear propagate and control your life? Are you going to stand up, make yourself like flint, and not be embarrassed by Jesus as his disciple, and not water down his doctrine, and continue to preach the word in season and out of season, and let it be a two-edged sword, and let it go forth and not return void, but establish that thing in which it was sent forth? And I want to close this segment right now, and I want to let somebody know tonight, this is what I love, that no matter what you've done, listen, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, walked away. He became depressed. He wept bitterly. He walked away. But Jesus stood at the shore of the bank. He did not yell out condemnation to Peter. He didn't condemn Peter. And Peter understood that. He said, now's God has given me a chance. You know, Peter looked out on the bank and he saw mercy. He saw grace. And I believe Peter understood. I believe Peter remembered the parable that Jesus spoke about the prodigal son and the father. And Peter said, my Lord, I remember what my Lord said to me. And he said that if I come running back to him, he'll meet me halfway with his arms wide open. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you tonight, it's time to come back home. It's time to jump out of that boat. It's time to swim to shore. It's time to get back into the fire. Come on. I'm talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the fire that burns in your soul. I'm talking about the one that Jeremiah said. He said, his word is like a fire that shut up in my bones and I could not contain it. I'm trying to tell you, that fear is trying to shut you up. I'm telling you, persecution is trying to shut you up. But I'm telling you, it's not time to shut up and sit down and hide. It's time to open your mouth wide and say, thus saith the Lord in this hour, in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So guys, again, if this is for you tonight, receive this word. I do believe with all my heart that somebody is going to get blessed by that word and receive that word tonight. Listen, I want to encourage you tonight. Real quick before we sign off, again, Wednesday, I've got another word that goes right along with this, and it's out of the book of Daniel. I'm going to share that on Wednesday, so don't miss this. And I got to get all that developed, and I'm going to bring that word as well. So I don't want you to miss that. Again, follow us, guys. We're all over the place. End Time Headlines. We are on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Parler. We're on USA.life. We're on MeWe. And then our main website is endtimeheadlines.org. and endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us. When you go there, please subscribe to us. You're going to find a place you can subscribe. You can find this little banner right here on our website. It's all over our website. Look for it. Click. All you got to do is click on that little icon you're seeing, you guys, on Facebook Live and YouTube. You can see that. Click on that. Go and subscribe to our free newsletter. You'll get that every day. It's going to keep you informed with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. As well as, I want you to get our app. If you've not downloaded our free app, please do that at the Apple iTunes Store. You can get it at the Android Google Play Store. I'm sorry. If you're on Android, you can get that there. If you're on Apple, you can get it on the Apple iTunes Store. Again, it's absolutely free. It's our ETH official app, and you can get all of our notifications, our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our podcast and our YouTube messages as well on there. Again, we are on podcasts. We have a podcast for ETH. We are also on YouTube. You can find us on YouTube. Again, just type in End Time Headlines and you can find us on YouTube. We have a podcast, again, for End Time Headlines as well. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you've not subscribed to Remnant Revival Ministries, I want to encourage you to do that. Again, this Remnant Revival Ministry is just an equipping arm of our ministry. If you love messages like this that edify you and you like equipping and teaching, please go and find us. We're on podcasts at Remnant Revival. That's Remnant Revival. We're available on Apple and Spotify as well. And again, the main website there is remnantrevival.org. remnantrevival.org. We're also on Facebook. You can follow us there as well. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity to sow into this ministry. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, it informs you, encourages you, equips you on a weekly basis. As always, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. You can do that going to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can give electronically. You can go to the app. You can give all the way down to the bottom and to the right. Just click on where it says donate. You can, again, when you click on it, it's going to give you an opportunity to give electronically, or you can give by check or money order, and you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, we love you. We appreciate you taking the time out tonight to come on here to this broadcast and hear what this old Kentucky boy has to say. Again, I want to encourage you, please, when we come on Wednesday, please join us. I believe you're going to like that word. I believe you enjoy that word, and we plan on being back in here on Friday as well. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you in a couple of days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.